Hello and welcome, everybody. Turkey has widened its investigation into the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi after his visit to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, searching a forest in the city. This as U.S. President Donald Trump has said that it certainly looks like Khashoggi is dead. Meanwhile, British Trade Secretary and the U.S. Treasury Secretary joined key European countries in pulling out of a major investment forum in Saudi Arabia as anger grows over the alleged gruesome murder of the journalist. Khashoggi, a critic of the Saudi regime, was apparently tortured to death and dismembered in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Prominent human rights groups call for a UN probe into the case in order to prevent a whitewash of the alleged crime. In this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss the latest twists and turns of the missing Saudi journalist case. But before that, let's get an update from Press TV's correspondent in Washington, D.C., Colin Campbell, about the latest reactions in the U.S. Colin, let's read a part of an article by USA Today, which says, quote, Trump is reacting to Khashoggi's disappearance like someone who's being blackmailed or paid off by Saudi Arabia. What else can you tell us about Khashoggi's case?
Yeah, I mean, that's really how many people are reacting to the president's discussion on Khashoggi's death and how he was killed. He's finally seemingly coming around saying that apparently it looks like Khashoggi was killed. I mean, this is something that people have theorized for the past couple weeks now. We're going into 2 weeks since Khashoggi's disappearance, and the U.S. president is finally saying, yeah, well, it apparently looks like that. And I think this has really created a sense of outrage among many journalists who don't feel that the president is taking this seriously enough and is acting proactively enough to take a stance against this, what looks like a planned assassination, something that was very deliberately carried out, something that was looked into and evaluated and examined and finally carried out, leading to his death. Now, of course, many people believe that the president has been bought out by the Saudis, especially when it comes to some of his dealings with his hotels. If you look and follow the money of where where expenses are going, the people who frequent the president's hotels, and we're talking about Trump hotels, of course, there seems to be a large contingent of Saudi nationals who go to those hotels. So many people believe that there's a connection there. Also, if you look at Khashoggi's record as well, he was banned from a lot of Saudi media outlets for open.
All right, thanks a lot. That was Press TV's Colin Campbell joining us from Washington, D.C. For expert analysis on tonight's show, we're joined by Professor of American University of Cairo, Said Sadegh, joining us from the Egyptian capital, and also from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker is joining us from San Francisco. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with our guest in Cairo, Mr. Sadegh. How do you perceive the way the Khashoggi story has transpired from the initial Saudi denials to the alleged rogue killers theory of Donald Trump?
As you know, there are a lot of at stake for the American presidency. The American administration knows that Saudi Arabia is central to its policies in the Middle East. If they want to boycott the oil of Iran, Saudi Arabia will play a pivotal role in balancing the world market. If they want to make the so-called deal of the century, the Saudis will be leading the way and will play a very important role. So it was a big shock for them that this incident, and especially American media and different media who are against Trump, have exploited it to blow it in the face of the administration. And so the American presidential pronouncement were all the time changing, from the beginning trying to find, look for legal loopholes. We have to wait and see how the investigation, and then he talked about rogue killers who may have entered illegally the consulate and killed the journalist. And now he's warning about severe consequences because of the heat coming from the media and the Congress. And also the image of the United States all over the world is being exposed, that they don't care about human rights, all they care about their interests, as long as the money is coming from Saudi Arabia, they don't care about what the record of Saudi Arabia inside or outside. Remember, only recently the Saudi women got the right to drive cars. Where was the United States before that? They don't care. Now, why this issue is becoming important? Because they wanted money, and Trump himself said, if I do what the Congress wants, that we suspend the arms deals with Saudi Arabia, we lose hundreds of billions of dollars of trade, and the Russian and the Chinese would take over. And so the whole thing is basically money, and they don't want to lose that, and so bye-bye with human rights.
Let's bring in our guest, Mr. Becker from San Francisco. Mr. Becker, how has Turkey played its hand in all of this? They are promising to share any evidence they find, but it seems that the final answer will be coming from Turkey at this point.
Well, if the presentation of the facts is as the Turkish government has presented them, then there can be no doubt, and I don't doubt their presentation at all. There can be no doubt that this was authorized at the very highest levels of power in Saudi Arabia. I mean, their presentation already makes that clear, that the idea that 15 people could come to the Saudi embassy in Istanbul, enter the embassy as a rogue group, carry out the murder and apparently dismemberment of Mr. Khashoggi, and then depart, and that this could happen without the authorization of the very top level of the Saudi government is unthinkable, absolutely unthinkable. If someone did this, if there was an rogue individual that entered the consulate and carried this out, he would have been apprehended and he would end up being executed in Saudi Arabia, as so many people are. I mean, as your other guest said, there's a complete lack of democratic rights, of all democratic rights in Saudi Arabia. Torture is common, beheadings are common, it's completely tolerated by the United States, and we have to remember that were it not for the United States in particular, and Britain, but particularly the United States, there would not be any such thing as Saudi Arabia, the Arabia of the Saud family. It was established in 1932. A few years later, the office of the U.S. oil company there, Aramco, shared the same office as the U.S. embassy. I mean, this has gone on for a very, very long time that this relationship has existed. And of course, as your other guest said, it's based primarily on the money. And that's why you see the Trump administration and Trump himself making all these weaselly statements where he's trying to leave some space for the so-called rogue elements. It's just a joke. That's just a joke. And I think anyone in the world who follows events knows that's a joke, a bad joke.
Mr. Sadegh, are you surprised as to why other Arab leaders are staying silent on the issue?
Oh, no, I would have been surprised if they were active or saying anything other than, standing by the Saudi government, because many of them are, dependent on Saudi largesse and financial injections every now and then. If you also remember, we have 22 Arab states. Who dominates Arab media today? It is usually media financed and supported by the Gulf states. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Emirates had been buying think tanks in America, in Europe, media here and there, and so they dominated public opinion, not only regionally, but also in many parts of the world. And that's why this issue exploded in their faces. Arab regimes are all want money from the Saudis, and so they declared the support of the Saudi government without explaining what does that mean. I mean, are they going to help in the investigation? If Khashoggi had been killed in an Arab country or in one of those friendly countries of the Saudis, it could have been covered up properly. But because you know, Turkey and Saudi Arabia are not in good terms. Remember, the Turks accused the Saudis of supporting the coup attempt. They are at a lot of loggerheads on many issues. Look at the issue of Qatar, for example. They are in trouble with each other. So had Turkey been in very good terms with the Saudis, maybe they would not have blown it up like this. But this is the situation. And so this silence that you are seeing today in the Arab world also proves that the record of human rights culture in the Arab world does not exist also. So you cannot say that the Saudis are violating human rights when you are doing the same thing in your own country.
Mr. Becker, the most likely scenario that we might hear at this point is that a fall guy will be conjured to take some of the heat off MBS, Mohammed bin Salman. But do you think that it will be enough at this point? Is the Crown Prince going to remain in power after so much adventurism, including the abduction of the Lebanese Prime Minister, the abduction of hundreds of powerful Saudi businessmen and royals, and of course the deadly war on Yemen, and now Khashoggi's disappearance?
Well, I don't think any honest person, any honest observer could possibly believe that it was someone besides the top level of leadership who ordered this operation to be carried out. I mean, I think that it's very likely that they'll come up with some, someone who's disposable, and it would have to be someone pretty high ranking for it to have any credibility for someone like Trump. But it's possible that they'll do it. It's very possible that they'll do it, but it's absolutely unthinkable that such an operation could have been carried out without the highest level of authorization. And it was, I think, a grave misstep on their part. But they feel that the king and the crown prince in particular feel that with the support of the United States, as it has been for so many years, that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, and wherever they want. And I agree with your other guests that had this been done in one of the Arab countries that is dependent on support from Saudi Arabia, it would have become a big mystery, that, and there would be no answers to it for a very long time, probably. But the government feels, I think that the Saudi government overstepped on this, feeling that with the full backing of the United States and the other Arab regimes, that support Saudi Arabia and that are supported by Saudi Arabia, that they could get away with almost anything. And they've been getting away with anything in Yemen for a long time. I mean, this is a crime, apparently a terrible crime that was carried out, but the crimes against the people of Yemen that have been going on for more than 3 years now, the Saudi airstrikes with the U.S. providing the bombs and the air refueling and everything else, has taken thousands and thousands and thousands of lives and destroyed much of Yemen and exposed the population to famine and cholera and other diseases. So, you know, if they can do that and get away with it, why would they have to think that they couldn't get away with an operation like this?
Mr. Sadegh, how do you think that the U.S. has handled this situation so far? Many observers believe that the credibility of the U.S. in tandem with that of the Saudis could be taking a massive hit at this point.
Look, Saudi Arabia was created, also the same applies for other Gulf states, were created with the British intelligence. They are being kept alive but with a CIA assistance. So they have always served functional role, regional important functional role in the area, serving American interests. They played a big role in destroying Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Libya. This role is now being geared toward Iran. So they can get rid of Salman, the crown prince, but not the regime. They can hide the crown prince for 6 or 7 months and hire some American PR companies who would whitewash what happened. They can look for a scapegoat and throw him to the dogs, and we live happily ever after, because people want money. People want don't care about human rights. As I mentioned before, look at the issue of the situation in Yemen, or what happened in Syria. Who cares? All they care about is money. And so if the if after a while the media are distracted by any other event, for example, a war in Gaza, if it erupts, there will be a distraction. Any other big incident in the world will take away the international media agenda away from Khashoggi and the Saudi Arabia. Definitely, the White House wants to whitewash what happened and clear up the mess, but they will never ever get rid of the Saudi oil family.
Mr. Becker, the Trump administration, as you mentioned, has made it clear that no life or lives would be worth jeopardizing their billions of dollars of arms sales to the Saudis. So what happens if other countries or international bodies lashed out hard at the Saudis, maybe even with sanctions?
Well, I think that is a possibility, but I think it's I doubt that will really have much of an impact. I think that Saudi Arabia, like the government of Israel, feels that as long as they have the U.S. government behind them, the U.S. standing with them in the face of any possible adversity and so forth, that they can do what they want. And I don't think that the given the reach of Saudi oil money, and its role not only for the oil companies and the military-industrial complex, but it plays a very important role in the whole capitalist world banking system. The petrodollars, as they were, used to be called, the deposits, the deposits that go into the banks, the big banks, and those big banks are highly dependent on Saudi oil money. And I would just like to say, I know this is called the debate program, but I very much agree with your other guest today and the points that he has been making.
All right, let's cross over to Mr. Sadegh in Cairo. You mentioned the issue of a whitewash covering up this crime. Many rights organizations are calling for the UN to intervene on the issue to pursue accountability and prevent a whitewashing of this crime. Do you think that the UN will intervene?
The UN cannot intervene. Remember, you have the United States will have a veto, will not allow it. Even Russia is also playing games, because it also wants to have business with the Saudis and the Gulf. Saudi, Russia today had declared that they will participate in the investment Davos conference that is going to be held in Saudi Arabia, whereas many of the European and even the American ministers of economy and finance are withdrawing. That shows you that the Russia is interested in going. So how come that would Russia allow bringing this case to the United Nations? I mean, remember also, legally speaking, the incident took place inside the Saudi consulate. This is a diplomatic territory. This is part of the Saudi land. And this is a Saudi citizen who had been, let's say, liquidated. So how can the United Nations intervene in that? And which part of the United Nations? The UN Council will not, the Security Council will not do anything without, the superpowers intervening and supporting it. Why China is silent? China wants business with the Saudis. The same with many countries. Despite the rhetoric and the media attack, the government in the end want money, and they don't want this issue regarding human rights. Remember the slogan of Trump, America first, not human rights first.
And Mr. Becker, let's get a final thought from you. A lot of attention, as you mentioned, has been given to the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi. Maybe now it's time that more attention is given to all the deaths in Yemen, all those innocent women and children that are being killed.
Well, in Yemen now, between 60 and 70% of the population is imminently threatened with famine. The cholera epidemic was one of the most rapidly spread in all of history. 1.1 million cases of cholera, thousands of people, mostly children, died. This is a result also, not just of the bombing, but of the blockade. I don't think that Saudi Arabia can win in this war, but it's inflicting enormous damage, the same way we've seen enormous damage inflicted on Iraq, inflicted on Syria and Libya, countries torn apart by the intervention, mainly by the intervention of the U.S., but also with the aid of its allies in the region, and particularly Saudi Arabia. So, you know, we see the ongoing disaster there in Yemen, and very, very little about it is said in the mainstream media. And very little is also said about the fact that here Saudi Arabia as a country has never had an election. They have no intention of having elections. At the same time as women were given the right to drive, women who were speaking out were arrested and are imprisoned today. It's a dictatorship of the Saud royal family, as they call themselves. I don't believe there really are any royal families, but they call themselves that. But they rule, and they rule ruthlessly.
Right.
And any dissent will get you tortured and imprisoned.
And final comments from our guest, Mr. Sadr in Cairo, focusing on the crimes that are being committed in Yemen.
Well, as you know, international media have their own agenda. They decide to focus on Palestinians, Yemeni, Sudanese, Libyan, as they like. And again, this is all those media machines move according to the political will of the owners and the organizers and the policy objectives. And that's why the issue of Yemen is not in the limelight and does not take the same interest as Khashoggi and others. And so the Yemenis will always be victims of a deliberate silent coverage.
All right, thank you very much, gentlemen. That's all the time we have for tonight's show. I'd like to thank my guest, Professor of American University of Cairo, Mr. Said Sadel, joining us from the Egyptian capital, and also from the Answer Coalition, Mr. Richard Becker, joining us from San Francisco. Thank you for contributing to tonight's program. And that's it with this edition of tonight's debate. Thanks for watching, everybody, and good night.